Hi, everybody. Welcome to Blockbusting, the podcast where we love to hate the movies. I'm your host, Jay Light. Joining me today, or I guess I'm joining you, because we're recording in your studio.
In my garage.
In your garage.
Yeah.
The wonderful voice you hear on the other end, Ari Manis.
Thank you for having me.
Dude, thanks for being on. It's a pleasure to get you on.
I've heard a lot about this podcast. I've been seeing it around the internet.
Well.
In our circle.
It's floating around. It's circling the circle.
And I watch a lot of movies. Well, I guess I do compare to the average person. Maybe not the average.
What do you think your movie watching time is like? Like how many? Like if you had to put an average on it, like month or week wise?
I'd say a movie a week.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
that's definitely more than the average person.
Yeah,
I think maybe even more than the average.
But
comedian.
I am getting pickier. I used to kind of watch everything. I liked comedies a lot. Now I find myself liking sci-fi and action movies. Far more than I like all the other movies. I like escaping into another dimension.
You know, I get that. I have recently become a big fan of horror movies, and I never watched horror movies for the longest time. And now I'm just like, oh, these are great.
Out of me.
Man.
Yeah, if I watch horror movies, I get nightmares. I can only watch a horror movie if I'm cuddling with a lady.
See, there you go. And then you guys both have nightmares together.
That's right.
And that's That's what love's all about.
The female gender.
Well, you have come on to talk today about a movie that you didn't like, and you know what? I'm going to let you explain the way you feel about this movie, because you kind of had some complicated feelings. That movie, I want to make sure I get the title exactly right.
I don't even think I can get the title exactly correct.
It took me a little bit of figuring out to get it right on this. The movie, XXX, Return of Xander Cage.
Yeah, so this, so if you haven't heard of XXX, it's a Vin Diesel movie.
Right.
So that sets it up right there. It's a unrealistic action movie, you know, in the genre of, what was the car movie he was known for?
Fast and Furious.
Yep. It's kind of, you know, along those lines of, okay, you have to be ready for this extreme,
right,
crazy movie.
And
right?
It's classic, came out in 2002.
The original XXX came out in 2002, yeah. And when I watched it, you know, no one's going to regard XXX, the original, as a great movie. But I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was popular. There were a lot of fun moments in it. And it's like a pump-up guy action movie about Vin Diesel kicking ass and taking names, right?
Right.
And I was a fan. You know, I'm not saying this was an Oscar award-winning film. I'm saying it was a fun movie to watch.
Yeah, and that sometimes it's all you need from a movie.
Yeah, so the new XXX came out, I guess, 15 years later or whatever, something around those.
Yeah, because it came out 2017. Dropped it in January, as you know all studios do with movies that they know are going to be hot trash.
I actually didn't know that. So if a studio doesn't really believe in the movie, they'll put out in January?
Yep. People aren't really seeing a lot of movies in January.
Got it. Okay, so the new XXX movie come out. I'm excited to watch it. My younger brother at the time is working at a agency here in LA. So he gets screeners sent to him of the movies. And they sometimes screen them at the agency he works at. So they were screening because Vin Diesel is a CAA client, which is where he worked.
Okay.
And so they're screening XXX, the new movie, at the agency on their little theater there.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, hey, do you want to come see this? Free, blah, blah. Vin Diesel will be there to do a Q&A. I'm like, that sounds awesome. I do want to see it. Yeah, for free.
Up.
A movie I'm into. So we go there. I'm excited. I want you to know this. I'm going into it thinking this is going to be a fun movie. 10 minutes into the movie, I turn to my brother and I say, yeah, we got to leave.
You got to leave a free screening of
a movie.
I was
like, I'm not wasting 2 hours of my life or an hour and a half of my life watching this garbage. It was just so bad, right? So then 6 months goes by and I'm with my friend Nick and the movie comes up, just the title of the movie. And I'm like, I walked out of the movie. It was so bad. And I start telling him how bad it is. And we're laughing just at some of the scenes I'm describing. I'm like, you know what? We should finish the movie for fun. Like, mm-hmm. It's going to be so bad. Let's watch it. And I watched the whole thing. And the second time I watched it, I enjoyed it, but not in the way the creators wanted me to.
Right.
It was just so laughably bad.
You know, and that's the thing about this movie is I watched it and first of all, I fell asleep. Falling asleep during a movie is not a good sign. But falling asleep during
an action movie.
An action movie, especially bad.
A vintage action movie.
Dude, there's so many loud noises and...
Yeah, lots of explosions.
There's
killing.
Everybody's
fighting.
Dying and buildings are blowing up. And it's just like, you're not supposed to fall asleep during this movie.
No, were you tired ahead of time when you started it?
No.
No.
Here's the thing. I started watching the movie, and basically, just to sum it up real quick, again, thanks courtesy of Wikipedia for this info, XXX Return of Xander Cage is a 2017 American action film directed by DJ Caruso, written by F. Scott Frazier. It's a sequel, the third installment in the XXX franchise, sequel to XXX and XXX State of the Union, which didn't even have Vin Diesel in it.
So there was another XXX, so it's the third one.
It starred Ice Cube. Ice Cube was the new XXX guy.
And I just looked it up. It has a 5.2 on IMDb for the new XXX. And to be honest, I think that's a generous rating.
That is extremely generous. So basically the plot of the movie is Vin Diesel's guy, XXX, Xander Cage... Mm-hmm. He's the original X. He has been in hiding for the entire time that it has been between movies, for 15 years. Because they're lazy and they're like, we can't figure out another more like, oh, let's try and give this a little bit more plot. No, he's just been gone for 15 years. Also like this movie.
You know what? I'll let that reasoning slide. There's plenty of movies where they do that, right?
But like... they're good movies. This one is not good. And basically the plot is Xander Cage gets back in action and he has to go fight these people who there was a satellite that blew up and it killed his mentor. And you know what? And I will say this. I was in the very first scene where Samuel L. Jackson is talking to Neymar, the soccer player.
Right.
And I was like, I had no idea that Samuel L. Jackson was in this movie.
Samuel L. Jackson is in every movie.
He really is.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me. First of all, and another side, just a sidebar, Samuel L. Jackson and Toni Collette are both in this movie.
Who's Toni Collette?
Toni Collette is the woman CIA NSA director lady.
The older lady?
Yes.
Okay.
Wears white constantly, and then she turns out to be the villain. That's how. Oh, look at that character
design.
Sorry, guys. So
we saved you an hour and a half. You're welcome.
We're gonna save you so much more than that. Don't worry. We watching Samuel L. Jackson. I immediately had confidence in this movie.
You're like, all right, this isn't gonna be bad. I like Samuel.
Yeah, he's fun.
I want to see Bones or Glass. I mean,
yeah. You know what? Actually, you shouldn't see Glass.
You thought it wasn't good.
It's not. I actually did.
Is it really bad or is it just like not that good?
And I did an episode about it, so I won't go too in depth. But I'll say the same thing I said there. It's a really good movie mashed up with a really, really bad movie.
It just kind of
comes out being totally okay.
Okay. Then I'll watch it.
It's worth a watch, but you're gonna be pretty upset during a lot of the movie. At least like half to two-thirds of the movie.
I mean, so XXX, this Resurrection, it opens up with ridiculous scene after ridiculous scene.
Yeah. Like, the first, it's a satellite that comes crashing down, and right after the soccer player has kicked a napkin dispenser into a robber's head, and Samuel L. Jackson's like, "This is gonna be fucking great," and then all of a sudden, giant explosions.
They're dead, and you go, "Oh no, that talented, kind soccer player is dead," and Samuel L. Jackson is dead. He's dead,
and then. We get to see our boy Xander Cage.
Xander KB.
Vin Diesel in the flesh wearing the first of many sleeveless outfits. I don't think he has sleeves on any of the outfits.
Now, you've watched it more recently than me. Was the first scene after that him climbing that tower?
Yep.
Yeah. So it starts off in he's climbing a tall satellite tower or a television. What was that tower for?
It was like a cable tower, an electrical tower.
It was very tall. It was probably, 1,000 feet in the air?
I would guess.
At least 1,000 feet, right?
To the point where he had to use magnet boots to climb up.
Yeah, he's using magnet boots.
Cool.
He climbs up in magnet boots. What's he do? Flip a switch?
He flips a switch.
He flips a switch.
Because he's tracking DEFCON 1 on his phone. He's got the official DEFCON app where he's timing down and there's going to be a disaster unless he does something
to this tower. To an insane height tower. He flips a switch. Then he is discovered by the security guards of the tower facility.
Right.
So he puts on snow skis,
yep.
Which happen to be there.
Right.
On the tower. I guess he planted them earlier also to prepare for the mission.
Also magnetically placed.
Yeah. And I want you to know, he's not wearing ski boots, but he somehow locks into skis with his magnet boots that were earlier used to climb said tower.
Mm-hmm.
He then drops off of the tower. And again, I want you to know, this isn't like, oh, like if he was a good skier, maybe he's a professional. He used to be a professional skier. And like, no professional skier could launch off of this height and land it. It was a deathly height. It was, you know, those that Olympic sport where they launch off that giant ramp and go really, really, whatever that's called.
The ski
called,
jump.
The super ski jump.
It's,
ski jump.
It's called the ski jump.
It's called the ski jump, and they're using, in that sport, they use giant skis. He's using regular skis.
Yep.
He goes way further than they go on that sport.
Right.
He's dropping 1,000 feet.
Straight down.
Straight down. And then, of course, there's like a canyon, and he lands on this canyon.
Oh. And keep in mind, this is in a jungle. There is no snow
anywhere.
Right,
right. There's no snow. So he lands onto a jungle hillside or cliffside, I should say. And he proceeds to ski down a jungle mountain with no snow. And I'm talking like high-speed skiing, launching off jungle jumps through trees to escape the security guard, which is after him. The security guards.
Right, because they all just, of course, just tumbled down the cliff to come and find him.
Right.
You do. Or they're also on skis. Who knows?
Yeah,
but they're right on his heels the whole time.
So he's Olympic-level skiing down a jungle-side
and then
mountain.
He goes and grabs from this like hut of villagers.
A local, what country are they in?
I don't know.
A local South American boy.
I think maybe.
He finishes skiing. He runs into a local South American boy and grabs a high-end longboard skateboard, $300 skateboard that also happens to have an X on it.
Yep.
Meaning either the whole town is a fan of X and can afford very high-end longboard skateboards, or he also planted that longboard there before to prepare for the mission.
Right.
Either way, absolutely absurd.
Totally absurd. Then the next sequence is him riding this down this crazy mountain road.
Uh-huh.
He's grabbing onto cars. He's almost getting hit by things. He does a jump and rides on the side of a bus.
He wall rides. As he's going 60 miles per hour down a hill, he ollies a longboard skateboard and wall rides against a moving bus down this hill.
It's so insane. And he lands at the very bottom of this hill. He gets to a beach and he runs through more armed guards
who are
cool because they don't have uniforms on. That's how you know they're the good guys, I guess. Regular people. They're good guys with guns.
Yeah.
And he turns on the television. And the DEFCON app goes off, and guess what? They were just trying to watch a soccer game.
Yeah,
the whole time.
He does this insane mission to get the village the soccer game they wanted to watch. I don't even know if it was the World Cup. Probably a smaller game than the World Cup.
Probably,
but that was important to them, and they all cheer, and they don't even know that he had anything to do with it. They're just excited the game's back on.
So he
does this insane mission and takes zero credit for it. Puts his life at major risk, and he goes, that was fun.
Right. And well, he does get to have sex with a really hot local girl.
Oh, yeah.
Girl.
A local mom. Yeah.
Right. Of
and
course.
Beautiful Dominican or Hispanic woman.
I think Dominicans and Hispanics they're in the same category.
Yeah, and then,
like how all squares are rectangles, but not all rectangles are squares.
And then he wakes up. They wake up and he or she wakes up and he's gone already.
Of course.
Because, you know, he's an early riser. He gets a jump start on the day and he leaves her his skateboard.
Right.
And it says like, ride safe or something like that.
Yeah, it's got like a wood block on it that's like, always wear a helmet.
Yeah, always wear a helmet.
Which he's not doing.
Which he doesn't
do. He doesn't do during any
and
of the movie.
And it's like, you think that lady wants you think that beautiful Hispanic mom is going to be like, oh good, I've wanted to learn how to skateboard.
Well,
good
maybe thing. She needs it for her kids.
It was absurd.
It's totally
and
absurd.
And that is the intro to the movie. That's just the beginning. That's literally the second scene of the movie.
Yeah.
Is that happening?
So, and I remember watching this and I was like, okay, maybe this is going to be like fun and self-aware and enjoyable in a way that it's like, it's not a great movie, but it's not a bad movie.
Right.
And then the movie very quickly just started to prove me wrong further and further when all the stuff starts going down with the CIA and these sort of terrorists, but not really terrorists, who are coming in and trying to get the satellite thing. And it's like, You know how parodies work, I assume. You're a comedy person. You understand how parodies are supposed to go.
The movie felt very much like a parody, but it wasn't.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like it wasn't that it just felt like a parody. It felt like I was trying really hard to be a parody, but also be a serious action movie.
Right. It felt like they had a bunch of 10-year-old boys like brainstorm for a movie, and then all the adults in the room are like, all right, these are all good ideas. We're going to run with that.
Yeah.
And then it sounds like someone wrote it and then passed it around the writer's room and said, hey, I wrote this scene. I need you to one-up it.
There's literally, this is, I think, maybe the fifth or sixth scene in the movie. Xander Cage, our boy Vin Diesel, still not wearing. Actually, now he's wearing sleeves because he has a giant fur coat.
Oh yeah, he has a fur coat. Is this the scene with the ladies?
This is the scene with the ladies.
One of my favorite scenes.
It's just like he goes to this hot girl who's like also
apparently has secret information that he needs.
And not just she's like a wanted computer hacker, and has to have on a ankle bracelet at all times.
but still lives in a like mansion poolside
full of hot women.
And all her assistants are hot girls,
right?
Like her.
And she's like, hey, and Xander Cage is like, hey, listen, this improvised dialogue we're coming up with is probably better than the dialogue in the actual movie. Hey, listen, I think it's time that you and me, we fucked.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't fuck you, but I got assistants. And then literally a parade of women.
Yeah, like 10 beautiful tens walk through and he goes into like, it's like a tent.
It's like a pool cabana.
Yeah, it was like a cabana, but you go in there and then it looks like kind of like a bedroom. But it's just a tent.
And then they all dogpile on him. And then the next cut is just following half naked bodies.
Oh, yeah. No, this was the most beautiful part. Like the most, because I think the movie was rated PG-13. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's definitely a PG-13 movie.
So it cuts to them. They're dogpiling on him. He wakes up now. So it implies that he has had sex with all of these women. He wakes up early in the morning. Of course, they are all passed out still.
Right.
And he wakes up.
Because so he 10, fucked him so good.
Right, right. So it implies that he made these 10 beautiful women all orgasm into the night to where they need a good night's rest. They're sleeping in.
And they
and
all
wakes up.
And, and that's the thing is like some of them are not wearing anything besides underwear.
No, well that was they're some all them, wearing but, they're all wearing underwear.
But some of them are wearing like they're still wearing full lingerie garters and stockings.
That was
and like,
that was one of the best parts.
Why would you put all that back on if you're that exhausted?
Right. So they're all exhausted and filled with orgasms, but they put on their sexy lingerie before they fell asleep.
And then it just like a single shot like Alfonso Cuarón in Children of Men style, and then it pans up to Vin Diesel like putting on his jacket and he just says something like another day at the office.
No, he puts on his jacket and he says, this is exactly what he says, I remember. He puts on his fur coat after orgasming 10 women into the night and they're all exhausted and sleeping in. He puts on his fur coat and he goes, the things I do for my country.
Oh my God. You're right. That is exactly what
That's
he says.
That's what he said. He said, the things I do for my country.
How much,
like a James Bond.
How much cum does Vin Diesel have inside of him?
It made it seem like he only came, he might not have even come. Like he just fucked them all to make them go to sleep and then was like, all right, that was just for the mission.
He's got that melatonin dick.
Yeah, he's like, I don't need to come because I'm an agent. I only come when I love the woman.
I'm a true patriot.
This was just for my country. I actually didn't want to have sex with all these women.
No, but I had to do it to save America.
Save America. And then, so the movie continues in that fashion.
Right. And he's he's trying to be the he's the most badass person.
He has neck tattoos. He's covered in tattoos. A lot of close-up shots of fake neck tattoos on Vin Diesel.
He's telling all of these, like, he gets onto a plane and he tell all these soldiers are like, what the fuck are you doing? You look like you're a fraud. You're not a real soldier. And he's just like, you guys ever heli jump over the Eastern Europe?
Yeah, he's like making fun of the elite American soldiers because he's so much more badass than them.
And he kicks them out of the plane mm-hmm. on like It's just like, it's so ridiculous. And then Toni Collette's like, oh, what have you done this time?
The whole front to back.
Every woman wants to fuck Vin Diesel the whole time.
Oh, yeah,
too.
In the movie. And he does. He then it introduces a beautiful like assistant that's assigned to babysit him, and they end up hooking up.
And she's just she's just throwing out sexual energy right from the jump as soon as she gets on screen, too.
Yeah.
Like to an uncomfortable level.
The movie's a joke. And the only reason why I don't find it funny is because it has zero intention of being a joke.
Right. It's like, played so straight.
I can't believe someone approved that script. I can't believe as they were shooting it, someone wasn't like, hey, we got to rewrite that line. That comes off as so corny and cheesy. But they didn't. And they finished the movie. And I wouldn't even be surprised if it made money in the foreign market.
Oh, it made tons of money. You want to know how much money it made, Ari?
What?
The movie cost $85 million to make.
Okay.
Box office worldwide, $346.1 million.
So they could make another one even.
They plan on making another one.
They do?
Yeah.
With Vin Diesel?
Diesel revealed that Paramount has already contacted him about returning for a fourth film. All of the major cast will be back for the fourth installment of the franchise.
What major cast? What other cast is there besides Vin Diesel?
Don't forget, you got that one lady. And
the evil lady?
No, not the evil lady. The good lady. The Indian gal.
The one he has sex with and follows him to the movie.
There's so many that he has sex with, though. Like, I feel like if he had sex with a girl in this movie, she's coming back for the sequel.
Well, I'm going to be honest. They should not make another XXX, but I will be watching it.
I have a couple questions for you, Ari. Yeah. So what? Okay. You were at the screening where if you'd stayed, you would have been there for a Q&A with Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
If you had any questions you could ask Vin Diesel about this movie.
Well, that's the thing. None of them would have. I'm not a mean person. And even though I'm saying these mean things about the movie publicly. And by the way, it's not like we're making fun of the movie. It's not like Vin Diesel thinks this is a good movie. There's no way that even he would think this is a good movie. So I'm not like revealing new things. I'm not trying to insult the guy. But yeah, I wouldn't have been able to say anything nice to him. I wouldn't have been able to ask a real question. I would have been like, so how much are you getting paid to be here right now? Like, why are you touring with this movie? There's a I don't know. It would have just been mean question.
I mean, that's fair, because it's like,
I would have been like, did you want to rewrite a lot of these corny lines, and they wouldn't let you? Like, yeah, I would have said, what's the biggest problem you have with the movie?
Because the difference, and that's the thing. Are you a fan of the Fast and Furious franchise? Have you watched?
Yeah, I haven't seen all of them, but I like them. Enjoyed them.
There's definitely a difference between the way those movies feel and the way this movie feels.
Even the first XXX was a different feeling.
And I never saw the first XXX either. This is my introduction to the franchise.
Yeah.
Like, I'm watching this and thinking, they're introducing, are all these characters like supposed to be friends of Vin Diesel's?
Have you ever seen like The Transporter with
Jason Statham?
With Jason Statham?
I have never seen it. I've seen a lot of trailers. I have a feeling, okay, I understand what it's about.
Have you ever seen John Wick or Taken?
I've seen Taken.
Okay, so you watch Taken, and the movie's ridiculous, right? He's going around killing bad guys,
right,
and taking names. Not, you know, he's this invincible, almost superhero-like character,
right,
that's going around and kicking ass. But it's still a great movie.
Right.
Because he's not as cheesy, and it looks a little more real.
There's some stakes to the movie. That actually feel kind of normal.
Right. But even taking the stakes aside, like, I don't know. It's just, they make it look more real, and it's not quite as cornball.
And I think a lot of that also comes from Liam Neeson playing the lead in Taken.
Right. But if you watch, you know, Fast and the Furious,
right,
it's similar. But and that's not as good as Taken, but it's not like that XXX movie. And
right,
so the first XXX movie is more like that, where it's like just a fun, unrealistic movie, but it's not so over the top where you're like, come on.
Right. That's the thing. And at this point, the Fast and Furious franchise has become very over the top, but it's also leaning into it more and more as the franchise continues.
Yeah.
Like, do you see the trailer for the new spinoff with The Rock and Jason Statham? So there's this new spinoff coming out called Hobbs and Shaw.
A spinoff of Fast and the Furious.
With The Rock and Jason Statham playing their characters.
Okay.
And the movie looks truly like it's going full-blown superhero movie. Idris Elba is playing a guy who, at one point in the trailer, he becomes a supervillain. He injects himself with, like, a serum or, like, goes, like, he does one of these supervillainy things to get powers. And then he turns around and they're like, who are you? And he goes, I'm the bad guy. It's doing what it's... feels like it. What this XXX movie is trying to do, which
you know
is
what
like
it
it's
could
leaning
be too.
In.
It could be maybe this movie wasn't meant for the original XXX fans. Maybe this movie was meant for children. Because if you were a little kid, the things I do for my country, you'd be like, yeah, that guy's a badass.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that wall ride on the bus. If I was 9 years old, I probably would have loved that movie.
Probably.
So maybe it was made for children.
This too. Seems like it a movie could've. That if I was a stepdad and I was trying to get my new stepchild to like me, I would take him to go see this movie secretly not tell his mom about it.
That is a great reasoning for this. I think that's exactly why this movie was made.
This is for all the stepdads of the world.
If you are listening
to
this
their kids.
And you need to impress a girl, a single mom's child, This is the movie for you.
Absolutely.
XXX,
The Return of Xander Cage.
That's how they should describe the movie in its description on the Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb.
Absolutely. Yes. And that's the thing. It's like, one of the things I often ask on this podcast is there anything that this movie could have done to be better? And I think for me, the answer is I don't know if there is.
I think they could have. I think they should have just had a writer go through and make it less cheesy. Even like that wall riding bus scene, as stupid as that is, and jumping off the tower and skiing down a jungle-side mountain, mm-hmm. like those are insane. But if he didn't finish it off with the things I do for my country
right.
and little lines like that, it would have been like, this is watchable.
Yeah, like... all the stuff that felt normal and kind of serious, I actually did like. Like, there were times, the scene when they are on the weird criminal island, and it's Vin Diesel talking to the two people who have taken the Pandora's box, the thing that blew up the satellite. And they're having that weird throwing around the grenades and talking to each other.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this feels... There's actual tension in this scene.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what's going to happen.
Right. It
feels like people are going to get blown up.
Right.
And it felt so different from the rest of the movie because the lines themselves were actually kind of serious. It just felt different.
Right.
It felt like it came out of another movie entirely.
Yeah. I'd like to know. I would like to hear Vin Diesel talk about an interview. Like if 10 years later we could get an interview with him on a podcast or something like... did they just offer him a fat check and he needed the money?
Probably.
Did he think, oh, this will be fun and maybe we'll try and make it good? I don't know what his thoughts were throughout it.
And I'll say this, and I don't know if you feel the same way. I'd love to hear your thoughts, but it feels watching it, it felt like Vin Diesel, it didn't feel like he was phoning it in performance-wise.
No.
But it did feel like he was trying to perform in a way that he might not have wanted to perform this way.
Like you think someone's like, he did the scene and then the director's like, come on, be more badass.
Yeah, I think that's exactly how it went down.
Like maybe he's not even a fan of it.
I think
maybe he hates it, but then he wouldn't do an next one. We'll find out if he's in the next one. It's, you said he is in the next one.
He's supposed to be.
So if he's in the next
fat check.
If he's in the next one,
I guess
he
we'll
sold.
See.
I guess he sold out. I guess he's at the point in his life where he's like, I just want to be very, very rich. He already is, but
he can be like on another level rich.
Maybe that's where he's at in his life. He's just like, I want to make tons of money.
I mean, being a badass on camera for all the little 9-year-old children out there.
Or maybe he's thinking that too. Maybe he's thinking in 10 years, the people who like this movie are going to be 18. And then I'm going to bust a lot of nuts.
There's going to be a lot of hand jobs coming around in the movie theater in the next...
In 10 years, I'm going to recreate that scene where I have sex with 10 beautiful women and say the things I do for my country. But I'm going to recreate it in real life.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, I can't wait to see that version of XXX.
I want to see the outtakes from the movie. Like, after that scene where he says the things I do for my country, if he was able to maintain a straight face. Did he get into character? It's like... the things I do for Mac, and then snap out of it. Did he start laughing after?
There's no way he got through that scene with a straight face. There had to have been points where he just either cracked up or like I mean, broke line, down in the middle of the scene.
The things I do for my country, hasn't that line been used? I can't think of an example, but like it sounds like a line that's been in 10 other movies.
Oh, there's a ton of lines that have been in 10 other movies. There's scenes where, remember when it's something going on the plane and everybody's freaking out. Oh, Vin Diesel's like telling off Toni Collette and the assistant's right next to her. And Vin Diesel storms off to go probably have sex with 10 more women. And she goes, well, Mrs. Lincoln, other than that, what'd you think of the play? I was like, come on, man. How lazy of a writer do you have to be to where 40% of the movie is stuff that you have pulled
from other movies.
From other movies or from Twitter.
So maybe they were like, this is just going to be kind of a parody. Maybe it is.
I don't think
maybe
it's a
I
parody.
Have it all wrong. No. Neither do I. That's the thing. If it's going to be a parody, you have to make sure we're aware it's a parody.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't play it that as straight as it is and try and claim that it's a parody.
And it's like that ridiculous skiing stunt down a Jungleside Mountain. How much money do you think that scene cost? Probably $1 million.
Probably.
Yeah.
Imagine how many takes they had to get of Vin Diesel wall riding on a bus.
Green screening. Just imagine. On skis. I want footage of Vin Diesel green screen. In his leather hiking metal boots that are also somehow ski boots. I want a green screen of him in skis, and I want to make the background like him going through a fluffy palace.
You know what? I want to see what Vin Diesel's rate is, because I have a feeling that it's probably they might have got him on a discount because they didn't make him wear sleeves for so much of this movie, and he could show off those sweet, sweet biceps.
He has nice arms. I will say that for his age, he's probably what? Almost 50, I'm guessing.
Let's see how old Vin Diesel is.
For his age, he looks good.
Vin Diesel.
I bet he's a cool guy. I would like to meet him.
51 years old.
Yeah, so 51 years old. He looks pretty good. Although, were there any shirtless in the movie?
Vin Diesel?
Yeah.
He has his shirt off underneath the sweet fur jacket.
Like, do you see his abs in it?
No, you get to see a little bit of the pecs.
I wonder if he still has abs.
He might have kind of a dad bod going on now.
I know I do.
But he's got those sweet arms. So you can't. Yeah. Look, man. Sleeveless Vin Diesel. That's the moneymaker right there.
I wonder
there.
If people listening to this podcast right now want to watch the movie or don't want to watch the movie.
Here's what I'll say is I don't think you should watch this movie.
I don't think you should either.
Look up a picture.
But if you go into it with the mindset, if you're with a friend and you want to watch like almost a movie, what's that movie with James Franco that just came out? Disaster Artist?
Disaster Artist,
what's it made after though?
The Room.
The Room. This could almost be like a The Room type.
You know,
like if you want to watch just the most ridiculously bad action movie, I think it could be fun then.
I think there are other worse ridiculously bad action movies because this just felt like a drag to get through. That's how I feel about
That's how you feel? Okay. So yeah, it could be. But I think if you got high and watched it with a friend and go into it knowing it's going to be one of the worst movies you've ever seen, you could have fun.
I think if you go into a middle school football team locker room and ask them to describe what they think the coolest movie would ever be, then you've seen this movie and that's all you need to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So don't watch it. That's what I say.
Yeah, you're right. Don't watch it. Don't watch this movie. Don't give them any more. If you are going to watch it, pirate it at least. Don't give the XXX franchise any. Don't reward them for making this.
Go watch Fast
garbage.
And Furious instead. At least that's a fun, good time, self-aware. It's entertaining. And Vin Diesel's much better in that than he is in this.
Yes,
which is a sentence I don't think I'd ever thought I would say.
I don't even think Vin Diesel's acting was the problem of this movie.
No,
though.
Me either.
It was the writing.
It's the writing all the way, 100% through.
It was just the script. They needed to change the script.
Ruined everything.
They need to I hope the next XXX is made by a completely different
film. Could be you.
I would love that. That's my dream job. My dream job would be to be an action star. But
and then it could be you
happen.
Having sex with 10 women in a pool cabana.
See, if it was me doing that same movie, it would have been a funny movie. Then it would have been a parody, and it would have been funny.
Well, I hope I get to see that movie sometime, Ari.
Me too.
Thanks for being on the podcast today, man.
Thanks for having me.
Where can the listeners find your work?
Just at Ari Manis on everything. I got a website, Instagram, Facebook, all the places you are, I'm at as well.
And Unlicensed Therapy podcast.
I have a podcast called Unlicensed Therapy where I give people advice on their problems in their life. And I'm an expert in everything, so I could give really good advice.
You should check it out. It's a fun time.
Thank you.
You can find me at DietJ on Twitter and Instagram. JLightComedy.com for show dates. And if you like this podcast, subscribe, tell a friend, leave a rating. And
leave a review on iTunes. You realize J-Light doesn't get paid to do this.
Nope.
And a comment on one of his social medias, a review on iTunes, it means a lot, and it keeps his motivation to do it and make it better for you guys. And if you're just listening, you're like, I like it, but I'm not going to put in any free time to leave a review, you're a bad person.
Couldn't have said it better myself. This has been Blockbusting. Go see something good for a change.